This is the gospel reading that was previously read. Like a tolling bell is the phrase "into the tomb" throughout our text. In Greek, it's the same three words. Translators don't translate them the same because they think sometimes the people are only meaning to go to the place of the tomb rather than into the tomb. The Holy Spirit knows better. No matter if they go in or not, their focus is inside the tomb. Into the tomb goes Mary early. Into the tomb run Peter and John. Into the tomb, John outruns Peter. Into the tomb, Peter is the first to physically go. Into the tomb was John first, but he's the second to physically go. Into the tomb, finally, Mary goes with her eyes. Into the tomb, into the tomb, into the tomb the bell tolls. But who wants to go into the tomb physically? Not Mary. She's the first one there all by herself. But the tomb being open didn't cause her to cry out, "He is risen." She thought something was terribly, frighteningly wrong. The open tomb didn't speak of resurrection to her. It didn't speak of death defeated. It spoke of grave robbers and desecration. Into the tomb, Mary doesn't even want to go with her eyes the first time. John's the first to do that. But he wants nothing to do with physically going into the tomb. He saw enough with his eyes. The grave linens and the burial cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head was lying there. But you can only see so much from only going into the tomb with your eyes. Into the tomb, Mary cannot go even with her eyes. John can only go with his eyes. Only Peter dares to go into the tomb physically. So, are you a Mary, a John, or a Peter? I'm a Mary. An open grave is not inviting, but foreboding. In cemeteries, it sometimes happens that the way to the grave for the person you're burying is close to the open grave of another. People always distance themselves from that one open grave rather than from all the closed ones all about them. No, it's not because they're afraid of falling in. It's because no one wants to look into, let alone go into the tomb. So, who's going to go into the tomb physically? Famous Hollywood tough guy James Cagney, he knew who. He begins his autobiography with this original verse. "Each man starts with his very first breath to devise shrewd means for outwitting death." Into the tomb, into the tomb, into the tomb is a tolling bell some will try anything not to hear. Famous TV evil guy Larry Hagman was so bothered about going into the tomb that he couldn't function. His therapist told him to buy a coffin, put it in his house, and lay in it each day for an hour. You think that's nuts? You think Hagman and Cagney were obsessed? No. They were as anyone should be outside of Christ. According to Hebrews chapter 2, outside of Christ, it is the devil who has the power of death. And through fear of death, through fear of going into the tomb, the devil keeps men enslaved all their earthly lives and then for all eternity. Like a giant vacuum in a kid's movie. Like a black hole in science fiction. Like the open mouth of hell in horror movies. We're being sucked into the tomb. We dig in our heels. We lean against the suction. We grab for the things of this life. We try to hold on to the good things like marriage and family and health to keep from being sucked into the tomb. We try things like booze, drugs, sex, money to take our mind away from the thought that we're being sucked into the tomb. But it's to no avail. Inch by inch, we're going. But even here, those outside of Christ don't necessarily despair. They conclude that the problem is this body. that in every case gets old, in some cases gets sick, and in all cases dies. This body, the body is the problem. Death releases them from the body. And so, that's the end of their troubles. The body going into the tomb is not a problem then. It's the solution. See, they think all that is necessary to redeem the soul from the power of sin and death is to separate the soul from the body. Sorry, the problem of sin and death are rooted in your very soul. You go into the tomb without those being overcome, and your problems have only just begun. Into the tomb we're all going. There was one man born of a woman who did not have to go into the tomb. It was Jesus, born of a woman, but without a human father. Jesus had no original sin infecting his soul, and so no actual sin manifesting itself in his body. So he didn't have to go into the tomb, didn't have to die, didn't have to be buried, didn't have to be sealed in a stone-cold tomb. But he did, and he did it for you. You can sort of get this. You can see how a father could send one son to rescue other sons and daughters, even if it cost that son his life. But that's not the story. The sons and daughters needing rescue were estranged from their father. Romans 5 says we were ungodly enemies of his. Think of someone hurting you, not being sorry for it, and still laughing about it. That's us, sons and daughters, the Heavenly Father sent his only beloved Son into the tomb to get. But the only way he could get to us is to live the life we should be living and to die the death we deserve to. And he did that. All the reasons death has a legitimate claim on you, Jesus took care of. All the reasons you should go into the tomb and slide all the way into the depths of hell, Jesus took care of. The only reason Jesus died was for you, to pay your bills. Once they were paid, neither sin, death, nor devil had a claim on him. That's why those grave cloths were empty. That's why that face cloth is not just unwrapped from Jesus' head, but folded up neatly. That's why the place where Jesus lay is a new mercy seat. All this is good news, but you might not understand any of it because I got ahead of myself. So far, I've said, no one wants to go into the tomb, and yet we will all eventually go into the tomb. The next thing to find out is who will come out of the tomb physically. All will. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 5. All who go into the tomb will one day come out. Doesn't matter how, doesn't matter where, doesn't matter believer, unbeliever, all who go into the tomb will come out of it. But that's where the similarity ends. Some will come out of the tomb to everlasting living, others to everlasting dying. Some in glorified bodies, others as zombies. Some will rise shouting Easter joy from fresh pink lips, others will rise coughing and spitting dirt from shriveled ashen lips. So what's the difference? I said it doesn't matter how you go into the tomb or where you go into the tomb. What matters is who you go into the tomb with. You go into the tomb with Jesus, you come out the way he did. Now we're back to the grave. Now we're back to the linens. Now we're back to the folded face cloth and the new mercy seat. John tells us Jesus was buried according to the burial custom of the Jews, with about 75 pounds of linen, myrrh, and aloe. They dipped the strips of linen in myrrh and aloe and wrapped each appendage, and then wrapped one big one around the whole body, and last they wrapped the head alone in another cloth. Come into the tomb. See the linens lying there. They aren't unwound. Mary will see that eventually, when she sees one angel at the head and another at the foot of Jesus. If they were unwound, they'd be scattered. There'd be no head, no feet. They're not. They are intact in the shape of a body, but sunken because There's no body there. Jesus has risen. The glorified human body Jesus rises with is not bound by space or time. He passed through the grave cloth and through the walls of the tomb, even as he's going to pass through the locked doors next Sunday evening. Go back into the tomb. See the cloth Mary and John had seen wrapped around Jesus' head. There it is, neatly folded. Grave robbers could not get a body out of grave linens without unwrapping them first. And they certainly wouldn't take time to fold a face cloth. The man who took the time to do that wasn't in a hurry. The man who took the time to do that wasn't scared. The man who took the time to do that wasn't bothered being in the tomb. You're not done yet. Back into the tomb. God has angels here to punctuate his point. One sits at Jesus' head, the other at his feet. Read the description in the Old Testament of the Ark of the Covenant. On the lid, which was called the mercy seat, were cherubim at either end. The mercy seat is where the blood of atonement was poured so that the God who dwelled above the ark in a cloud could not see the Ten Commandments that were kept in the ark. The Ten Commandments that accused and convicted the Israelites of having broken them. But the blood of an animal can't really atone for or cover anything. But the blood of God atones for all and covers everything. And that's what Jesus poured out on Calvary's cross. And the Father shows you that he sees this by pointing out that the risen Jesus is the new mercy seat. The place where sinners can go to find their sins atoned for and covered for good. Go into the tomb with Jesus and you're going to come out as he did. But how can you go into the tomb with Jesus? By baptism. That's what Paul says in Romans 6. We have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk about in a new life. So how did Jesus walk about after Easter? Was sin hanging over his head yet to be paid for? No. Was death waiting to swallow him up? No. Was the devil threatening him with unkept laws? No. That's how you get to walk about since you're joined to Jesus' death and resurrection by your baptism. Walk about knowing that you will rise through death's strong bands as easily as Jesus did through the rock walls of that tomb. Walk about no more worried about sin hanging over your head, still needing to be paid for than Jesus was on Easter morning. Walk about certain that the devil has no more power over those who go into the tomb with Jesus than he has over Jesus. The Catholics have an expression, the odor of sanctity. And that refers to those going into the tomb in a state of grace. Originally, odor of sanctity referred to a heavenly fragrance said to emerge from the tombs of the blessed. Into the tomb go. Go into the empty Easter one and take a deep breath. You'll smell forgiveness, not sins. You'll smell mercy, not judgment. You'll smell life, not death. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We sing the